Form S4. This is Brock.
This is John.
So here's another type of SEC filing. The Form S1 is for IPOs. There's a Form S3. There used to be Form S2, but the Form S4 is for deal lawyers. What is a Form S4?
That's what you file if you're going to be doing a merger. That's the classic scenario. There's some other transactions, but it's basically an acquisition form that you use, and it's the form you use to register the securities that you're going to issue in an acquisition transaction. It's the buyer's registration statement. They file it on Form S4 with the SEC, just as you would any other registration statement for an offering under the 33 Act.
And how much time does it take to prepare one?
You know, we've talked in other podcasts about the time that it takes to prepare forms. You know, a lot of it depends on how much resources you're willing to throw into it and the time frame for your deal. These usually get filed, in my experience, within a couple weeks of signing, and they typically, it's one of those things that this is a document that much more than, say, Schedule TO, this tends to, in many deals, kind of get put off and pushed toward the end of when you're getting closer to signing up the merger agreement. So they usually get filed within a couple of weeks of signing, but again, a lot of effort goes into them. People may get a jump on them, but it all depends on how much resources you're going to throw at them, and whether you want to work around the clock or not. But I think 10 days to 2 weeks is a decent guesstimate for what they would typically take, at least in my experience. Some have taken longer than that, and some have been shorter. But again, it all depends on how much effort you want to throw into them. There's a lot going on in that form. There's disclosure about the buyer, disclosure about the seller, disclosure about the deal. If shareholder approval is required, the Form S4 is also going to contain disclosure required under the proxy rules. Financial information about both parties is going to be included in there. Pro forma information. Now, some of this may be incorporated by reference, but pro forma information giving effect to the deal on a historical basis. The level of information required about the target company varies depending both on whether its shareholders are going to be required to approve the deal, which they almost always are, and whether it's subject to SEC reporting obligations or not. Now, most targets are going to have to get shareholder approval. So the extent of the specific disclosures about the target are going to really depend on whether it's a public company or not. And you get a bit of a break, but unfortunately, most of the disclosures that are a pain in the neck for public companies, they're going to be required of private company targets too. So you're basically, this thing, a lot of times if you're doing a deal that the buyer's S4 will essentially be the registration statement for its offering of securities as part of the deal, and built into that will be the proxy statement that's used by the seller to solicit approval from its shareholders for the deal. And to make matters more complicated, if the buyer needs shareholder approval, well, it may be the buyer's proxy statement too. So you may have, you see these things with elaborate titles like, joint prospectus / proxy statement. Now, what's interesting about these things is, unlike registration statements that are used in financings, if you've ever done a public offering, you file your document, you take your preliminary prospectus, and you can market the deal off of the preliminary prospectus, the red herring with the legend on the side of it. That's not customarily done in S4s. The prospectus that's contained in the Form S4 is typically not distributed to shareholders until after it's declared effective. So it's a little bit of a different process than you would find for a financing.
And are these prepared by committee?
Absolutely. A group effort involving the buyer, the seller, both sets of lawyers, the investment bankers, and the accountants. Everybody's going to weigh in. There's typically a single individual that controls the document and coordinates the comments that get received by both sides. And it's really helpful, I think, to have kind of a single input from each of the parties involved. Otherwise, it can get a little bit crazy. To be getting three sets of lawyers' comments from the buyer and different folks from the bankers, et cetera. So the extent you can have a single point of insertion from each party, it makes the process much more efficient. But it is definitely a group effort.
And what's the junior lawyer's role with these typically?
They'll be very involved in preparing the document. This is the type of work that it takes a lot of time. So there's pressure economically to push it down to the level where it can be done most cost effectively and efficiently. To the extent that you'll have a lot of junior folks involved in it, you'll have a more senior person coordinating the document. But it's a 33-act filing, so you're pulling together exhibits. You are, somebody's got to, if the appraisal rights, somebody's got to get an accurate copy of this appraisal statute, get that put in there. There's a lot of boilerplate that people can draft. There's just coordinating changes with this multiple groups. So there's a lot for the junior lawyer to do here, even if he or she is not the principal draftsperson of the document. And as they move up the food chain, it's still going to be someone who's fairly junior, typically, who'll be doing the drafting, or at least the initial drafting of the document.
And from the SEC staff review perspective, these are filings made that, again, like other disclosure documents, the Division of Corporation Finance is the division within the SEC, that group of staffers that will review filings. And the S-4s will be routed. There's branches and operation groups that are set up by industry type. And so if your company's in a specific injury, this S-4 will be routed to that specific group within the Division of Corporation Finance to review. And then that office will coordinate with with this division's Office of Mergers and Acquisitions to review the S-4. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that summarizes it. It's the same folks. Typically you'll be interacting with the same branch that you've been getting if you're a public company that's been giving you comments on your 34 Act report. So, it's that same industry group that they will have reviewing these things. If they decide to fully review the document, you can expect to receive comments, approximately 30 to 45 days, depending on, how busy things are from filing. 30 days is what they've always historically shot for in a full review. But, that's not a hard and fast rule. Sometimes you can get comments earlier, sometimes later. In many cases, what the staff will do is give you a limited or monitored review of the filing, particularly if you've been somebody that's been pulled on a fairly regular basis for your 34 Act filings. They may be pretty up to date, and so they'll take a look at discrete aspects of the transaction. In these cases, the comments are typically limited to sections that the staff selects, and the review process is much shorter. It's usually completed within 2 weeks. You get a comment letter, or even sooner than that. And I've read that people think that the staff is fully reviewing more merger filings than it has in the past. That has not been my experience in recent years, and I haven't been doing mega deals. Most of the deals that I have worked on in the past 3 or 4 years have been less than $250 million in deal value. But at that end of the scale, at least, it's been the opposite. I can't remember the last time that an S-4 filing that I worked on was fully reviewed. But on the other hand, with the exception of a micro-cap merger proxy that wasn't an S-4, but it was for a non-registered cash deal that I filed last year, I haven't had a no review in quite some time either. Anyway, when you get your comments, it's like any other comment letter. You have to prepare a responsive amendment to the filing. If the comments are heavy or the information needs to be updated, your financial statements are getting stale, what have you, then that response can take some time. There's usually, as there is in other financings, there's additional comments that get generated, and you have to respond to those. And there are typically multiple amendments that you need to address in order to get clear if you're dealing with a fully reviewed registration statement. But I think that one of the things to keep in mind is that this is why people tend, if they can do tender offers in cash deals, they sometimes look to that because it can be so much quicker than the registration process. Now, unfortunately, you can do a tender offer with stock, but it's still got to be registered, so it doesn't really, there's not the the advantage that you still have the same review process that you have with an S-4 that you're doing for a tender offer, so you kind of lose that timing advantage there. But it's kind of a different cat when you have to wait for the staff to review before you can have your document declared effective and then go out and mail and solicit proxies for your meeting.
Good stuff. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.